Welcome to Down the Garden Path. I'm your host, Joanne Shaw, landscape designer and plant lover. I enjoy discussing down-to-earth tips and advice to help you seasonally manage your garden and landscape. And I also aim to bring you interesting and relevant topics to educate you all about the landscaping and horticultural industry. Joining me on Down the Garden Path. I'm looking forward to today's show. With me is Don Gallagher, from the owner and operator of Gardens Plus. And Don's been a frequent guest over the years on Down the Garden Path, and I'm so happy to have her back. She's the owner and operator of Gardens Plus, an independent garden center in Peterborough, Ontario, specializing in easy care perennials. And today I'm very excited that we're going to be talking about hellebores. Welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you so much, Joanne.
So thanks for coming back. And I'm so looking forward to discussing hellebores with you. Kind of a cool plant.
Very cool. Very cool and lots of cool.
Yeah, definitely. So can we start with a little bit of a history on hellebores? Because I feel like they are a new plant in the last 5 years or so. Like, I don't know, when I first started designing, 15 years ago, I never really saw them or heard much about them.
So they've been in existence. I don't know how far actually they go back, but this is our 27th season and I've always sold them.
Really?
They definitely weren't as popular until I would say the last 5 or 6 years. Mm. They're propagated easily by seed or cross-pollinating, and there's a lot of pollinators out there. And I think because they're coming out with all these new varieties, they're so gorgeous. They're getting a lot of being featured, et cetera, and being talked about. And they're a wonderful plant. There's a whole bunch of different sort of classes of them. And some of the classes of them we won't even talk about because they're better for warmer climates than us.
Okay.
I think you're closer between 5 and 6 zones, sort of close, same as us. We're 5B. Toronto, a lot of people from Toronto probably listen to your podcast. They're zone 6, but we get down to Windsor and Niagara, they're like 7. So I would say from zone 6 to 7, they can clearly grow any of them. But I'm in Peterborough. I have a lot of customers that actually come from the north. So they'll come from Bancroft, Halliburton. So for those customers, because they're more like zone 4, this is the thing about hellebores is the zone.
Right.
I have to watch, and there's only one that those northern customers and gardeners can grow, and it's Ivory Prince. And some of the Niger, the Christmas rose ones, they're a little hardier as well. The new Orientalis, they're the ones that are the most popular because they're prettier. But they're zone 4, US zone 4.
Okay.
Which means they're zone 5, right? We have to add a number.
Okay. What name was that one?
There's tons of them. Yeah. Okay. That's a classification of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So, zone 5 is like minus 20 Fahrenheit, minus 26 Celsius. So that's, that's pretty hardy. That's that's us and pretty much everybody else in Ontario that isn't north, right? There's a guy, he's a hybridizer. He's very passionate about daylilies and hostas. Now he's actually more into hellebores. He's cross-pollinating. And sorry, I've got my cat here.
Sound, everybody.
Something fell off the table and scared her. He's hybridizing. He's in the U.S. Okay. He's actually in Michigan. He's hybridizing, which are very popular. There's a whole series. It's called the Wedding Series, and they're all double flowered. And then there's a single flowered series called the Honeymoon Series. So you'll see, the doubles in the Wedding Series. There's Blushing Bridemate. There's a new one this year called Childhood Sweetheart. There's Confetti Cake. It's actually been around for probably 10 years now.
Wow.
Whirling Romance is another new one. And then honeymoon series, they're the ones, they're flatter because they're single petaled, so they don't have a lot of petals to them. So they're
Yeah, they're
lighter
not
as
full.
well.
Yeah,
They
they're a little
don't
more
droop as
delicate.
much. Yeah. There's French Kiss, New York Night, Rio Carnival, and so many other ones. Oh my gosh. And they come in so many colors. Like there's yellow, there's orange hues, there's dark, deep purples that look like they're black, lots of pinks. Ivory prints is, I like it. I've always loved it. When somebody's just starting with print with hellebores, I always suggest they start with that one. It's one of the ones that I'll say is more reasonable in cost. They're not a $10.99 or a
No.
$15.99 perennial.
Yeah,
When
they are an investment, aren't they,
they
for the
are an
garden? Yeah.
investment, they are for sure. Ivory prints is more zone 4. And it changes color, which is really cool. It'll be in the season, it'll be green, pink, and then you get the green and the pink together. Their leaves are really nice. Their leaves are actually quite thick. But ivory prints is a good one for anybody to start with. And then, not that they're difficult to grow, that's another part of our conversation for sure. But it's easy.
Now, are they all, so I have three different ones, and I don't, unfortunately don't know the names
The
of them.
names, of course. That's
The
okay.
tags might be out there somewhere, but I know my white one, it's finished. It bloomed early. I don't know if I'll get a repeat bloom, but it blooms really early, like February, March, early March, and even in the snow, even if I don't know why. It's in a sheltered area east side of my house, but it's done early. And then I have a pink one and kind of a really like a maroon one. So they still are early in the season. Are all of them really kind of spring? They're nothing's blooming in July and August for hellebores, right?
Correct, but so they bloom, they start blooming sort of in your area and my area. They'll push up right through the snow if we have snow cover. This year, when they started coming through, we were having that warm spell. And that's not why they bloomed when they bloomed, because of the warm spell. It's just that's their timing. So normally they'll push up through the snow in March-ish to April. And then they open up and they'll hold their blooms till July, sometimes even August. Yeah, which is great, because a lot of perennials that bloom for that amount of time, their blooms are done, you cut them back and they're done. Whereas these guys, the blooms hold. So I call them still a long bloomer, but it's not like they keep reblooming. And I've never seen one rebloom. I've seen shoots that are behind the new ones come up in succession, so to speak, but they're not known to be rebloomers. I've never seen that happen. Why some of them are blooming earlier than others, I would say is a lot to do with sometimes the amount of sun and the earth warming up a little bit faster, for sure. They're not a full sun plant. I always say this, the same thing with hostas. They're not a full sun plant. They'll grow in the sun, but they won't do as well. And they would need some more extra moisture. And to me, that's not easy care perennials. So I always go with what sort of where they should be. So filtered light is perfect. Part shade is fine. Full shade just worries me, because often when you have full shade, you're talking about lots of trees or something that's making it full shade, which makes it compete with getting some moisture. They don't want to be wet, but they want even well drained, not boggy, but they want sort of consistent moisture.
Consistent, yeah.
And care is another big thing about hellebores. They don't need a lot of care, but I suggest when you do have that urge early spring, before, we're not cleaning our gardens up as early anymore. So when you do have an urge and you want to do some gardening, look at your hellebores and any of your leaves that are from last year that don't look good, give them a trim. And then what happens is your flowers come up and they flower. And as they're flowering at the base, you'll see all these new leaves will start. First, you'll see the clump of flowers down in the middle, and they're starting to come up. And cut off your leaves that don't look good. If they look fine, they're evergreen, right? So the green leaves come all the way through the winter time, no problem, under the snow, or if you don't have snow. And then just cut off the leaves that are not looking great,
Right.
mangly, spotty, whatever is this, the case. And then your new leaves will come up after flowering. So sometimes they look funny if you have a plant that maybe you just planted last year or the year before, which brings me to another point. You need to be patient with these guys. I have a clump that's probably 15 years old. It's wedding bells, which is a white. It's wedding bells, so obviously it's part of the wedding party series. It's huge. It's probably a foot across, which for a hellebore, that's huge
The
because
plant or not the bloom? The plant.
the plant, the base of
Okay.
the plant. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's probably like 15 years old, and a lot of their leaves actually look good. So I only trimmed the ones that are not looking great. I pulled back the leaves from our maple tree that's about 15 feet away, and I've just left it. And now it's blooming profusely. Sometimes when you buy them at the garden centers, I know for me as a grower, I can buy different, I'll call it a grade of plant. So they come in trays, they're plugs, but they come in plugs anywhere from 128. That's a lot of plugs per tray. So they're little small liners, the smallest ones I can buy. I would be bumping them up and probably selling them in a quart. Some people sell them in a gallon, and they'll sell them for like $10, right? But now you're going to probably wait maybe another year, two or three, for it to be bloom size. They're
Right.
still hardy. They're just a smaller plant to start with,
Okay.
which is great if you can find someone that would grow that size. We bring in the biggest size, so we only get 20, which is they're about 3 to 4 inches across,
Okay.
and then we sell them in a gallon. But they come in, they're already blooming, and they bloomed last year. The odd
Yes.
time, there's some that haven't bloomed, but that's just nature of the
Yeah.
beast and their growing conditions where they came from. But yeah, they're expensive. I know personally, our garden center, they start at $19.95 and they go up to $33.95. Last year, we opened early May. We actually opened a weekend earlier than normal because of the season, the way it was going. We had pre-sold. We open up our website for a short amount of time for pre-orders, which we've already done. We did that in March. We pre-sold about maybe a third of what we had coming in. We never let pre-sales order all.
Right.
And then our first 2 weekends, we sold out, but we had people from Montreal,
Wow.
Ottawa, Windsor, because they're $60 and $50 there.
Yeah.
So they just made the
Yeah.
trek.
They
And
made
these
the
people I might have
get with
mail
it.
ordered. I used to mail order. So I used to mail order some of these guys. So they've been
Yeah.
watching the website. All my prices are there.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was so exciting, but I felt so bad that I had nothing for June to sell or
Yeah.
the end of May. So
Yeah.
this year I've got 15 varieties this year. I'm like, I just went nuts.
You
I've
went
got
nuts. Oh, that's
so
good.
many more coming in. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
Yeah,
coming
I think
in.
it's important for our listeners to know that in most cases, the price is connected to how fast the plant grows, right? You know, if it's a $10 perennial, they reproduce pretty quickly and easily, and for the grower, for you as well as the grower.
Yeah.
But something like hellebores, which takes time, and you like other even other plants like yews are way more expensive than boxwood, but they're much slower growing also for the grower. You know, they've got to
Yeah.
wait, they've got to keep them that much longer, especially when you're looking at larger sizes. So it's not necessarily gouging. It's just
Oh
the
no. And for
reality
us, it's
of
the
the work
cost.
and the investment of the time that they're
Yeah.
in the gardens. You know, they're in the ground before they can be. I'm going to say harvested because we think of that term with vegetables, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, growers have them for several years and are looking after them before they can really sell them. So,
Yeah. And if I had something that didn't sell last year and it went back in the ground, it's not like I can split it yet and make two pots out of one. That's
Right.
not the case. It might be with a few perennial other things that I have, and that's where my prices would drop. But for us, the hellebores, the growers, the hybridizers, they're all in the US. So that's a trucking company,
Yeah.
customs, brokerage,
Lots of stuff,
right? All
right?
that extra stuff. So ours are based on our prices are based on our cost. And we
Yeah.
just don't mark up like some of these ones that would in Montreal or whatever, because they're the same varieties.
For sure, for sure. And larger,
That's
you've got the benefit of being a small garden center, right? That
yeah,
and when
yeah.
you sell out, whereas they're, ordering more, getting it shipped again from the US and that type of
Yeah.
thing. So
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, so I think they're perfect for someone who has, and that's where I have one of my, a couple of mine are near the front of the house, right? Because they bloom so early, design wise, you know, they don't need to be in your back 40. They don't necessarily even need to be in your backyard because you're not back in your backyard in March, right? In
That's
April
right.
and
Good
May,
point.
you know,
Yes.
so I think design wise, you know, these are special treats that you want to put for you in your front yard, at your front entrance, that just will make you, it makes me smile, even though it's done
Oh.
and it's finished. And I, you know, it's just like, oh, he came back and he's smiling and, you know, and stuff.
Easy,
So
easy.
I'm bummed that it's white though, because when it does come up in the snow, it's really kind of like, ah, you
Yeah,
know,
that's interesting. That's
right?
a
So,
good point. Yeah.
but I've had them in the snow and, but the pink, the two pink ones, you know what I think they really started to be popular is Canada Blooms. So, which
Oh,
we have sadly no more.
that's
But they
true.
were what, you know, the challenge with Canada Blooms was always forcing the plants to be blooming, right, in March. So I found, like, especially the last year or two, well, the last year nobody got to see it, but you know, believe me, they were covered with hellebores the last year where nobody could actually get in 2019.
That's right.
But they, even the couple of years before then, it tended to be a lot in and a lot of gardens because it did bloom naturally early.
That's
And
right.
so it was kind of a handy plant, but it was an expensive investment for us to create,
To
you know,
set
have
up.
them there.
Yeah,
You know,
for
they weren't
sure.
cheap. Somebody's still paying for that, you know,
That's right. That's
that type of
right.
thing. I also want to mention the foliage. So even when it's done, it's still, you know, especially for the front, because people might say, oh, why would you put it by the front door if it's going to be done, then it's over with and blah, blah, blah. But the foliage is evergreen. So even in the winter, the foliage is there,
That's
right?
right. That's right.
And it's
Exactly.
pretty. It's a pretty
It is
leaf.
pretty. And it's interesting. It's not like, I mean, I know you and I, you especially because of the design aspect, you look at foliage. I look, when I think about foliage, I don't normally think about hellebores. I mean, yes, they have beautiful foliage, but some of them, there's one called Penny's Pink. The leaf is amazing. And it's same with Ivory Prince. The leaf is actually, it's not just plain green. In thick, like they're all thick, they're all mostly plain green. There's some of them are serrated though, and there's different forms, but Penny's Pink and Ivory Prince, they're almost like there's the modeling to it.
Oh, nice.
Blotchy, it's very attractive.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Okay.
often Penny's Pink's flower, it's not part of the wedding series or the
Series.
honeymoon series. I've probably had these guys for 15 years. I've carried them and I can't even buy them anymore. I
Oh.
do have some still left in stock, but they have a little pink flower. But the foliage, people will come to the back after watching walking the display gardens at the front. And in my one couple of the beds, one under the pergola there where there's a lot of hostas, I have one. And then coming up underneath the what's over there, I think the birch tree, there's another one, and people will come to the back and they'll say, what is that? And they'll explain the foliage, and I'm going, that's a hellebore and
Yeah.
that's Penny's Pink.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, sometimes they're asking about this in June and they're gone for the year, but I always hold back so I have some for the following year. Anyways, I say, you know, just watch for them early spring or whatever. Come the
Yeah.
first weekend, we're open, we'll have some for sure. But yeah, and they're often because I can't get them anymore in there. None of my Penny's Pink are growing huge.
Right.
I have to watch because I want to, so they're 1 gallon size, but
Yeah.
yeah,
Okay.
they're a great plant too.
And something else I want to mention that so a couple of years ago I was telling you about my group of friends, other landscape designer friends. We did a garden tour in Niagara-on-the-Lake. So it was a Niagara-on-the-Lake garden tour. And so you can imagine, you know, eight landscape designers traipsing around Niagara-on-the-Lake with gardeners, right, to look at the garden tour. And so we got to one house that had, and most of these yards were fairly established yards, not all, some were new builds and had new gardens, but so, you know, everybody, so this one yard that was very established, large evergreen trees, and then in the very back, you know, certainly a lot of established gardens, but the side entrance that we all went into, large evergreen trees and something green underneath, where we know under evergreens it's hard to grow, right? Something with beautiful big leaves. So everybody was, all the other gardeners were like in the back looking at all the flowers and, you know, clematis and hydrangeas and stuff, and we're all like, what is that? Like, we're like, it's not Pachysandra, it's not this, it's not that. And we're trying to find the home. And like, all of us are like trying to figure out what was this lovely green plant that was really like a ground cover. And there was a lot of it. So cha-ching, cha-ching. So we finally found the owner, and it was hellebores.
Really?
So, yeah. So it was the end of, you know, so this would have been like the end of June, I think. No, actually, this was a year that they did it in September. They actually, which was why we were all able to go, because it's hard to go to a garden tour in June, right? We're all too
For
busy.
sure.
So
You guys are
this
busy.
was a year, you know, their first one back after COVID, and they did it in September. So here was a falls. That's where the hydrangea, I can distinctly remember hydrangeas, everybody's in the back, and it was a lovely garden, but we couldn't get over these hellebores, that the foliage, how it just filled this dry spot. You know, now it was dry in the fall and that kind of thing. So I don't know the variety. We certainly didn't see the blooms, but we were all kind of captivated by the foliage. So,
so it's neat, it's tidy.
It's neat, it's tidy. It was noticeable. It was green in September, you know, when it can be really hard in the garden sometimes.
That's
So,
right.
So I really want to express to our listeners that it's a really versatile plant. And I know that they are different zones, and we can only grow, depending where you are, you can only grow certain varieties. And I know that broke my rule of plant it by your front door so that you can see it, because this one was kind of off even by, I can distinctly remember, and I'll have to see if I have a picture and I'll send it to you, Dawn. But it was like, it was a, I think a corner lot, and it was like, you know, they had a little wrought iron fence, and we went through the gate, and it was like immediate on our light left going through the gate and seeing these trees and this ground cover. And it was like, what is that? And, you know, we did a spin around the back and came back, and we're like, you know, it's, give it to us to like want to know what that is, you know.
That's right. Of course, though, for sure. I mean, especially in the sense now we're not, in the olden days, you might have, you know, you had that kind of situation, you would put in some of these things that are now on the native, the noxious, invasive list, like periwinkle, right? That would be a great, it's just expensive to do mass of it, but if you can get somebody to bring you in some smaller plants, that's for sure. Or sometimes you can get them to seed. Once in a while they'll seed, and then you can just put all your seedlings in a little spot and let them do their thing. I've never,
would they just seed naturally, or is it something where you, could you collect the seeds yourself and kind of start them? Like,
I have no idea. I've never actually, I don't get into the hybridizing, and I don't recall ever seeing any seedlings, but I've seen people. I'm sure that because it's one of the first things to bloom. So it's before the dandelions, it's before the daffodils, it's before, right? So when the bees do start coming alive, they're definitely attracted to this plant. So they would seed when a bee would go from one to another and cross pollinate. And that's just happened naturally. And then the seeds would fall. And if people don't clean up their blooms, like I know personally, I don't go around and clean up my hellebore blooms when they're done.
No, when the
blooms are done, they basically drop their petals, and they're still beautiful.
Yes.
They're like peonies. When peonies are done blooming, their seed heads are still really cool, and they're not doing any damage. Not like allium. I have the purple bald one. I can't remember the name of it right now. I have kind of winter brain, especially with a snowy day here in Peterborough. But if it reseeds, you'll get a multitude of these alliums, which is fine sometimes for some, but not for me. I don't want that many alliums. But anyways, so for them, if they did reseed, that would be a wonderful thing, you know. And you'd end up, that's where you can end up with some new varieties. They would not flower like the mother plant. They would flower across between the mom and the dad, so to speak, right?
Now, do we know why they call, because Christmas rose, so if people aren't familiar with the term hellebores, you might be more familiar with Christmas rose.
So hellebore niger, that variety is more known as Christmas rose. So we always have a Latin and we have a common name. So the Latin is the hellebore or helleborus, and then Christmas rose is Niger's common name. When you get into the Orientalis, they're known as Lenten rose. So that's the classification. I mean, it's, you know, when it's not really a big deal, when you go to the garden centers looking for hellebores, you'll find them. They'll be blooming early when they open, you know, and the tags, watch the tags. This is this thing we talked about. We did touch on it a little bit. A lot of times the tags are printed in the US and they're coming from US growers. So just make sure that it's a Canadian zone. And if it doesn't actually say US zone on it, and it doesn't say Canadian zone on it, ask the nursery what zone they are.
Okay.
If again, if you're in Ontario and you're not north of us, you're pretty
Highway,
safe to
maybe
grow
Highway
any of
7,
them.
407
Yeah,
kind of thing.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. But if you're north of us, then just stick with the ones that are zone 3 and 4. Yeah,
Okay.
they're easy. I top dress with compost in the spring. It's
Just,
a,
but you do that for everything though, right? Or
yeah,
just
well, not
specifically them?
everything, not, yeah, not echinaceas, not corbels, because they don't want the moisture. They want well drained, even sometimes dry. Your echinaceas want dry.
Right.
Can I just give a little tip about echinaceas while I just thought about it?
Absolutely,
Okay.
absolutely. You
A
are our
lot of
easy
times,
care perennial queen, so
yeah.
go for it.
Just a side thing. So we're talking about spring. We'll soon be having that, consistent 10 to be able to clean up our gardens if we haven't already. A lot of times your echinaceas will look like they're not alive. It's because they're dormant. It's still winter to them. The soil is still very cold. There's a few plants that will not come alive because of it being cold. Butterfly weed, the orange milkweed type, it's another one that's very late. So what I always suggest for the coneflowers is, it's a little late now, but in the fall, I leave the sticks. I don't cut them all the way back. And then I wait until I see the green leaves on the bottom and I can recognize the plant, and then I cut the sticks. So don't give up on your coneflowers. Don't give up on your butterfly weed, the orange one. The most, it's not the hardiest. It's a harder one to grow. Wants a really dry spot and really, really super sunny and hot, but it's waiting for the soil to warm up, which we did have some warm spells, but believe me, that soil is still cold.
Right.
So just be patient about that. Yeah, and the hellebores, as far as cleanup, just, yeah, clean up the leaves that don't look great. Easy peasy. Yes.
Excellent. But they are a plant that you're not going to find at a plant swap at at your garden club meeting,
I
right? Because
don't think
they don't
so.
divide, like you said, they're so slow growing. They don't divide, so it is an investment for your garden. So it may not be for the new brand new garden. I know you can also cut the flowers. I've seen some posts from garden club members where they've cut them and put them in like in a little vase in the house. So that is another benefit. If you're not outside enjoying them, you can cut them and bring them in. And they really are a cool flower. It really is. Anyway, if you Google them and look at them, like there's it's almost like artwork,
Oh, for sure.
right?
Yep.
They really are beautiful. But I really do think that there's a spot in everybody's garden for one. And even though it's an investment, it's good to know it still is an easy care perennial. I
Yep.
love the fact that the foliage is still there. So you can plant it, in amongst other things that will come up later. And then that foliage, think of like even a peony, right? Like, yes, they're done in 2 minutes. Everybody should still have a peony. But the leaves of a peony, even after it's bloomed, are amazing. Like I love
Yeah.
bringing them in the house and adding them in a vase because
Yes.
they
Nice
it's a
filler.
beautiful it's a nice filler. It's a beautiful green. It's very nice. So
When
yeah,
you
there's a
talk
lot.
about it being an investment, the
Yes.
other thing that just crossed my mind is, some perennials, they're like, everything's an investment that you put into your yard, but it's for your own enjoyment. Not all perennials are long-lived.
Right.
Hellebores are definitely long-lived. They'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you are going to divide them, you can. It would be done in the fall,
Okay.
right? Because it blooms in the spring. Anything that blooms in the spring, you divide mostly in the fall.
Right.
But yeah, they just keep going on and get bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't think I personally have never seen one. Like, people always say, when do you divide? Well, there's two parts to that. When, as in when in the calendar you divide. So fall, when the center starts dying out, definitely is when you need to divide something. And that same thing goes for hostas. I've never had a hellebore die in the center because I don't have any that are, plus 15 years old. There
Right.
are some out there, obviously, because they've been around that long. But yeah, obviously they're nice left to get mature and nice and big, because then you just get more blooms. More and
Yes.
more. And that's when I would maybe bring in a vase and whatever, but otherwise I like seeing them in the yard.
Yes. Yes, for sure, for sure.
And I like your idea of up front. For sure. Oh my
for
gosh, you
sure.
thought of that.
Yeah.
You're the designer. That's right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have them under my so the burgundy one is underneath my little, I have a little hedge of little quick fire hydrangeas. So
Oh,
it's gonna
perfect.
eventually be like a bit of a, so on the one that is under, you know, it's gonna be a ground cover when the leaves come out. But right now nothing's happening in my quick fire, my little quick fire,
Right.
but those pink, you know, maroony color, you know, are poking up. And it is cute how they kind of poke up, you know.
Yes, for sure.
And it's
Yeah.
almost like the seeing them is almost like seeing trillium in
Yes.
nature, right? Like it's just
Yes.
such a nice, it's so early and so surprising that it's such a lovely treat that
Yes.
early in the garden. So I think that's something you know, to complement your bulbs if you're a big bulb lover. You know, I'm not a tulip fan just because I'm so tired of fighting squirrels, but
Yes.
daffodils and alliums, you know, but having hellebores in the mix there, I think are great. But I am, especially for me at the corner house, my neighbors get a nice enough view of all my gardens. I'm going to keep the hellebores close to the front door for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So, are you're ready for, let's talk a little bit about the season. So you specialize in easy care perennials. So please check out Dawn's website at gardensplus.ca.
Yep.
Lots of great advice for easy care perennials. Natives and non-natives, which are both great for pollinators and both great for new gardeners, right?
Oh, excellent. Yes, for sure.
What is the most popular when you say easy care perennials, and who's,
Oh.
what is the thing that you know is, or does it change from year to year?
For me, I was known more for hostas and daylilies, and then just sort of started getting rid of the things that were short-lived, like the lupins, the Gloria, different things like Shasta daisies. They're the short-lived ones, so I stopped selling those. I'm more into things that are drought resistant. And honestly, I started with this low care, easy care, low maintenance type plants when we started putting in more display gardens here. Not thinking about the whole thing with climate change,
Yeah.
needing drought resistant. It was because I couldn't get to my gardens to water.
Same here.
I
Yeah.
was waiting for the rain to water them.
Yeah.
That's why I started. You know, and it's probably, this is our 27th season, so it was probably like 20 years ago or so, because the big box stores started coming and I needed to find a niche, right? So hostas and daylilies were my passion. They still fit. So I would say a lot of people, when they come through, they're looking for things that are new. They're looking for definitely lots of different hostas and different colors instead of the green, green and white and green. But Nepetas, or Nepeta, however people
Nepeta,
say
yeah.
it, because it's one of the clematis.
I know, clematis,
Clematis.
yeah, clematis, clematis,
Exactly.
Nepeta, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that they're bee magnets, they're pollinators. There's some that will creep. There's a new one out this year. It's called Chartreuse on the Loose. I
Ooh.
think it's going to be really exciting. I love foliage. So it's going to have the purpley blue flowers, but on Chartreuse, which is like a lime colored
Right,
foliage.
really.
It's not a small clumper like cat's pajamas, which is my favorite, because it blooms almost all season. It blooms,
Yeah.
you give it a haircut, it blooms again. It's just amazing. And then the so that's I find a lot of people come in looking for those, and some of those cat's pajamas is a proven winners, so there's a lot of marketing happening around that one.
Yeah.
The new one, Chartreuse on the Loose, is not a proven winners, but
Okay.
I know we have a great amount of stock of it, and I'm excited to see it because it's lime foliage.
Yeah, that'll be
Yeah,
interesting. I'll
which
have to
is
look for
cool,
that.
right? Because again, when they're not blooming, the foliage is still
The foliage is good. Yeah.
really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say my I have quite a bit of cat's pajamas and Persian blue, is it?
Persian blue is nice too.
Yeah.
Taller, but that's
A
okay.
little bit taller, but not as tall as Walker's Low, which was never low.
Right.
Although I think Walker's Low, I did take it out because it splits in the middle and falls over, but it still was, if you've got the space for it, it was the best bloomer. Like,
Yes.
you
And that's
know.
a good point about when you're picking plants out, you know, definitely know your lighting. You need to know when the sun is and how long, when it starts and stops, because a lot of people, especially when they're new gardeners, they don't know, like they love hostas, but they want to put them in full sun,
Right.
or they love daylilies and they have full shade. So you need to know, like certain plants are for certain areas. So if you're putting a garden in, kind of watch that area. And obviously the seasons, things change as well. In the spring, it might be in more sun than it is once your trees leaf out. So
Right.
there's a lot really,
To
yeah,
think
for
about,
choosing
for
the
sure.
right plant for the right site.
Yes, the right site. And I think you have to go by, you were talking a little bit before the show about, advice online and stuff like that. You can't go by what happens in someone else's garden. You do have to pay attention to what's happening in your garden when
That's
your
right.
trees leaf out. If your garage, sometimes, you have a big garage that shades, part of your yard for most of the
That's right.
summer. So even though
Yeah.
you might be south face, like,
Oh,
west,
100%. Yes.
there's that garage that takes away some of the sun at that, maybe not in the peak, high sun in the sky time.
Right.
You might get 3 weeks of where it's full sun, but then the beginning and the end of that, at the summer. So you really have to pay attention to your space and what and the size of your garden as well, because sometimes I feel like the advice being given are people that have, lots of property and have lots of space for things to get big and for them to have a large variety of things. If you just have a small backyard or a small, 3 foot by 6 foot bed, you have to be pickier and you have to
For
pick
sure.
size plants that are
Yeah.
size appropriate. So,
That's right. And clumping rather than
yes.
spreading.
Yes, for sure. And still need to repeat, even though you have a small space, it doesn't mean you put in 12 different things, design wise,
Oh,
still
yeah.
pick 4 or 5 of your favorites and, add 2 or 3 of each of those. And, that will make for a better, you can plan your seasons better and make for a visually,
Impact. Yes.
impact,
Yes,
garden
for
kind of
sure.
thing. So
Yeah.
do you have an open date?
So at this point, it's looking like May 9th.
May 9th, okay.
And we're Thursday to Sunday, so we're not 7 days a week. Number one, I'm the owner. I have staff, but I'm not the type of owner that's not there all the time. I am there all the time. I'm there available as well as the staff is to ask people, can come in and ask questions. We can help them put little areas together, different things like that. And then Monday to Wednesday, we're actually getting our pre-orders ready. And then we're a little bit different because we are a garden center, but we have display gardens at the front, the greenhouse and sales areas at the back, but the other three quarters of the back is stock beds. So we actually, from our stock beds, not the front gardens because they belong to us personally, but the stock beds, we actually dig Monday to Wednesday. We're digging out things to add to the shelves like in a few weeks
Potting them
after
up.
that. So we're always in succession. And we're only open till the end of June because honestly, July to early September usually is a little bit hot to be planting. They just need more extra care. You can plant at those times of years, but it needs a lot more care. And then our summers are getting way hotter. So just for most success that works for us, rather than opening again in the fall, we just do all our sales early in the spring and early summer. Well, I guess it's not summer yet in June, but
That's
yeah,
good.
before the heat.
That's right.
Although
That's
look at
right.
last year, right? In May, we had some heat, real high heat days. It's
And then
crazy.
July we didn't, right? We had
In July, we
cool,
didn't.
wet
They flip-flopped.
July. Yeah, they
Yes.
flip-flop. So we really don't know what we're gonna get, but that's another reason to buy Easy Care perennials, right? That are tough and hopefully will help us get through these climate issues that
Exactly.
we are continuing to find. So thank you so much for joining me here. I really appreciate it. And we're going to have you back because we're going to talk about Hosta, the
Yeah.
Hosta virus X,
Yep. Yep.
in a couple of weeks. So we will have you back. And I do want to let our listener, I'm glad you told us when you can get out there and visit Dawn at Gardens Plus. And it's great to support. If you're not near us, you can support, please support your local garden center and your local growers because it's really important. We don't want to lose the knowledge and, we don't, we want to support local, right? And everything that we
Exactly.
do.
That's awesome.
So,
Yes.
thank you everybody for joining me down the garden path. If you need help with your garden, please check out my book. Matt and I wrote a book, Down the Garden Path, A Step-by-Step to Your Ontario Garden. It monthly tells you everything you need to do in your garden or not do. And you can find it on Amazon and there'll be links in the show notes. So please have a look and consider gifting it to someone. Makes a great Mother's Day gift coming up. So once again, thank you, Dawn. And I'm really excited. I hope people check out Hellebores. And thanks again for joining me down the garden path.
Thanks, Joanne.